ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yeah. so thankful that you sent your Son to this world to give us the chance of redemption and for the guide that he has been for our lives. We pray that those that are without will come to you. We thank you, Father, for our help.
Amen.
A lot can be known about an individual by the people that surround that individual. And such was the case that Jesus knew well when he called upon Peter and Andrew and James and John and all the others to be a part of this good work as he left them on earth and show them the strength that they could have believing in him, that they would go ahead and teach the rest of the truth that he taught to them. And what a wonderful Savior he is for them and for all of us. But tonight I'd like to take a look at what they said about the house of God, the Lord's church. Peter and Paul, James and Jude. Let's take a look at Simon Peter first tonight. In the writing of Simon Peter's words of 1 and 2 Peter, we see the following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, for an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherefore ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in this regard about their lives, made possible by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They became members of the body of Christ. They became faithful people of the Lord's church and the Lord's way. And they talk about it in this regard as he writes about this to brethren. He says there in this particular second chapter of 1 Peter, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, to the crooked. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if when ye suffer or buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. He tells them how to live in the church when they face persecutions and troubles and struggles of life, not to reflect to it in regard to like kind, not to revile in ways that way. He goes on to say in verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He looked to the heavenly Father to deliver him from those trials and troubles and difficulties, and so were the brethren to do that. That would be acceptable with God, as we read there in 1 Peter 2 and at verse 21. So it is that Peter was talking about a way of life that's good. And the writing in 2 Peter carries on with the whole idea. He says there, according to his divine power, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice that they had left the world, and as they left the world, they left it for the beauty of being members of the body of Christ, the church of our Lord, and being faithful to the Lord in that way. He tells them in this regard that they have done this righteous way of the Lord. In the writing of chapter 3 of 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, "This is the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Notice that he was there on the day of Pentecost and spoke in Acts chapter 2 and told them in regard to what to do to be saved from their sins, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Notice that in this regard they were duly obedient to the Lord, and the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. Acts 2 verse 47. So Peter tells us in regard to this house of God, the body of Christ, how precious it is and how many precious promises are wrapped up in following the Lord and His way. He wants us to go through suffering in our times in a way in which we don't smile at the suffering, but we don't frown at it so much either. We find ourselves just accepting the fact that they do not know and they do not see. And thus they can be people who can find themselves following a way that is righteous and good instead of some fear of fighting again with someone who is that way in retaliation to them. So it pleases God that they do that way instead of be roughhousing and fighting back with them. Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul were authors of various writings of the New Testament. And in the writing of Paul to the brethren at Corinth, notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in reference to the church of our Lord, which is at Corinth. "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which he is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord," both theirs and ours. "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He talks a little bit further in regard to this matter and refers to them in terms as we all know and appreciate very, very much, because he refers to them as brethren. In 1 Corinthians, as we read a little bit later on in the chapters that are there, in chapter 7, he notes the following about that. "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." He tells them about the home life and marriages that they have, and the kind of love that they share one with another and care for one another and that sort of way. It's a way, the life that he tells them is a righteous way of life. It's the way that God would have them to live and to behave. Notice in chapter 11, he tells them in regard to the misuse of the Lord's Supper and that way of life. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. "Be ye followers of me, as I am also of Christ." If we find that way of doing, we find a way that's righteous and good, and we can follow Him all the way to glory itself, because He is an example of that. In the writing of 2 Corinthians, reference is made to a number of things that I'd like to call attention to tonight. And that is, in the body of Christ, we find a wonderful blessing to be a part of. He says in verse number 7 of the first chapter, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. He comes back to that idea that they would suffer, that they would go through hard times and difficult times for the Lord. But he had told them already how to do that and how to have the Lord as a blessing to their lives. And he refers to it once again. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came upon us in Asia, how that we were pressed above measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And he talks about that, and he talks about how that God helped him out during that time. God would help us out in that time as well. He will help us and be strong with us as we are that way, treated, mistreated by others in life. We will have a blessing from God if we pray about it, give it over to Him, and then find ourselves going about it in such a way as He has said here that we should do it. Notice in this regard, in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he says the following about the brethren of the Lord. It is not expedient to me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. For such a one will I glory, yet myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. I would say the truth. And if I now forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul talks about his life and his troubles and difficulties, and how he finally came to a realization that God was not going to deliver him from that. He was going to abide with him. But he could withstand it. He could go with it. He could do that. And he says this is the thing that he talked about with others. They could go with God. They could be people who were faithful to the Lord. In Paul's words, in this regard, Paul was a person who loved the Lord. And in chapter in Galatians, in chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if any be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. But if I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law, Christ also is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace. He tells the people there that had come out of Judaism that in fact, if they went back to Judaism and began to practice that way of life, it would bless them none. This is not a blessing that comes in spite of Christ. It is a blessing that comes to them to be free from that and may in liberty from that and be in Christ Jesus to enjoy his relationship. He says there in verse 10, for I have confidence to you through the Lord that ye be none otherwise minded, and that ye be troubled, troubleth you shall bear his judgments whosoever he be. And I, brethren, notice he uses the word brethren. That word brethren has reference to of the same womb. Of the same womb. He came from the same womb that they came from the same womb. Did they have the same father and mother? No. not the earthly relationship is he talking about. He's talking about the spiritual relationship. And in the spiritual relationship, we both came from the same womb. We're brethren. And he says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, but use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, that by love serve one another. This is the way he taught them to do. Peter and Paul are references to the Lord's church and the Lord's way of life of doing things. And this is true and accurate to bring a blessing to their lives. James and Jude. James and Jude will find themselves speaking for the Lord as well as Peter and Paul. In James, he says in verse number chapter 2, in verse number 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord of glory with respect to persons. He tells them not to be people who are just because they're rich, have a special favor in the church. Or if they're poor, have a poor seat to sit at, a footstool. He tells them that they really have the same blessings with God that they have themselves in their first way. And this is the way to do it. Brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. When black people come here, I notice that you respond to them very well. Like they're human beings. Like they're people who are loved and appreciated for being here. And I tell them to come back and be a part of things. And be a part of this, the body of Jesus Christ. Because it's just that. It's just the body of Jesus Christ of which they can read in the New Testament of their Bible. I hope that they will, and I hope more of them will come and be a part of the services with us. I appreciate the way that you go ahead and do that sort of work. In James chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, and which though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, and yet they are turned every small helm, and whithersoever the governor listeth. Wherever he places it, it moves that direction, or away from that direction, as they have that to be done. And he notes to them how they need to talk in the right way. And he says out of verse 10, out of the same mouth there proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. The way that we talk, the way that we have that guides us and directs us to where we go, what we do. Remembering that back in the Old Testament, wise man Solomon, Proverbs 18:21 said, the power of life and of death is in the tongue. And so it is that we use that tongue in a righteous way, in a faithful way, and we'll be the servants that God wants us to be. And then when we take a look at Jude, in Jude chapter 1, notice that he begins by telling them that I long to be with you. And he says in verse 3, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. The way that he was saved, the way that Paul was saved. The way that Paul and Simon Peter were saved is the way that Jude was saved. The way that James was saved and the brethren that came from the same womb, they were saved as a result of their relationship with the Lord. And he's saying here, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write of you of the common salvation, it was necessary and needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. There's not a faith that was delivered back there and then a new one was delivered a few years ago in our generation of time. It was there, revealed, and finally discovered by people who studied, stayed with the context of a verse to realize what was being taught. And as a result of going forth and teach that, we have churches of Christ scattered throughout this world. And because of that, opportunity to study God's Word and be the Christian that we ought to be is afforded to us. The common salvation that is needful to me to tell you about the common salvation which was once delivered to the saints. That word once is used here, and it's used in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. It's a word means once for all. And here he's talking about the faith once for all delivered to the saints. They were to keep it. They were to make copies of it. They were to make it available to people. Peter, Paul, James, and Jude refer to the body of Jesus Christ as he taught them and shared with them the message of the Lord and wanted them to live as well as to behave in a marriage, as well as to behave in teaching of others with the one faith that they had been taught. What a blessing. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, we sing a song of encouragement to you. We just come forward and let it be known this very evening as we stand and sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow. Continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed for our sins. Again, Father, we pray that the one that partakes of it will do so in manner of dedication to thee. In Jesus' name we pray.
I'm in the meeting tonight, Father. So.
Let's turn to number 331. 331, and after this song, J.L. will do some prayer. Love divine,
oh, love excelling, oh, on earth to heaven come down. Fix in us a humble dwelling, for Christ with mercy's crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unhoped of thou art. Visit us with thine affliction in their every trembling heart.
Yeah.